This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 15 March 2019. Dare I say, beware the Ides of March. So let's start off with some general trends here in stock market. The tech-dominated NASDAQ led the market higher this week, and many of the NASDAQ and S&P 500s are clearing their November highs. Microsoft was touching its December high, challenging that. Bond yields have been falling, which has boosted the stock market. And high-yield bonds, investment-grade corporates, are outpacing Treasury. And if you look at the tips, they're fairly weak, which means, at least from the data, that no one's really that worried about inflation at this point in time. I'd like to point out that we do free webinars in our educational series from time to time. Just finished one on the 13th, which is Wednesday, called The Art of Speculation, and talked primarily about speculating and mining shares, but the principles that I outlined on speculation would apply across the board, be it IPOs, biotech, energy, whatever. However, there seems to be more speculative investments in the exploration side of the gold and silver and, let's say, resource sector than any place else. Plus, I'm most familiar with it. So we will put it up on the web. You have to edit it somewhat, and it will be on my YouTube channel. If you just go to YouTube and type in The Morgan Report, you'll be able to find our YouTube channel. And, of course, we would appreciate it if you decide to subscribe to that. It is a free YouTube channel. First up this week is from Truth Dig. Title is The Global Economy is a Time Bomb Waiting to Explode. This came out on the 11th of March and starts off saying, in the aftermath of the greatest financial calamity since the Great Depression, then Chief of Staff of the Obama Administration, Rahm Emanuel, made for the call for aggressive action to prevent recurrence of the meltdown of 2008. And it goes on what happened and on. But what's the key point here of this article is what happens when interest rates start to rise. And of course, this is something I just went over at the very beginning, that, you know, the bond market, everyone's pretty content, everything's fine, nothing to worry about. In this article, it states what happens when rates unexpectedly move up. In general, as Carver notes, having to suddenly repay your loan when interest rates have risen to 4% is the worst possible time for you. It's akin to taking away the umbrella the minute it starts to pour. Worse, the authority is likely locked into a contract that typically has a lifespan of 40 to 70 years. Some of this goes into the UK as well as the United States. But the concept is it, that when you can least afford it and interest rates start to rise, that really is kind of a double whammy. So I won't read the whole article. I think it's important to keep these things in mind. I know I talk about the debt market incessantly, and the reason I do is because it is so important. Last paragraph, I think, is worth noting. So here we go again. No less a figure than Claudio Borio, the chief economist for the Bank of International Settlements, who warned of the dangers of a synchronized housing bubble well before the 2008 crisis, is again sounding the alarm about a recurrence. The crash gave us a chance to downsize finance and restrict its ability to wreak comparative havoc on the economy going forward. But instead, we let the crisis go to waste, which almost certainly means a nasty sequel to the 2008 facing us in the near future. So if I'm going to say, you know, stop listening to this podcast, I'd say stop here. Not that you should. I would love you to listen to the whole thing. I try to keep it in the 10 minutes. You should go 12 to 15. Next up, from one of the mainstream financial channels, Bloomberg. I think the title says it all. I'll read a little bit, but from their economics, global growth slowest since 2009, $1 trillion deficits. Welcome to Tuesday Asia. Global growth is at its weakest since the great financial crisis, says Dan Hansen, citing a new GDP tracker. President Donald Trump's newest budget forecast, the fiscal deficit surpassing $1 trillion this year and staying above that level into 2022. Trump's deficits and the AOC factor helped modern money theory burst from obscurity, which is an absolute absurd thing. You can look up modern money theory on Google. And if you believe in that, please do not come to this podcast ever again. I don't have time to go into it, but it's about the most absurd thing you can imagine. Basically, it says you can print wealth. It's against the basic principle that I've stated from the day I started on the internet. If you could print yourself wealthy, then why isn't Zimbabwe the richest place on the planet? I mean, they have trillion-dollar notes, right? So let me pause there and just move on to another article. I don't often go to Brandon Smith's site, probably not often enough. Altmarket.com, source. Brandon does a great job. Probably should read it more often. I can't read everybody. But here again, the global economic reset begins with an engineered crash. For years now, since at least 2014, the phrase, quote unquote, global economic reset has been circulating in the financial world. This phrase is used primarily by global institutions like the International Monetary Fund to describe an event in which the current system, as we know, will either die out or evolve into a new system where multinationalism will become the norm. The reset, often described in an ambiguous way, IMF banking elites will usually mention the end result of the shift, but they will say little about the process to get there. And it's multilateralism, excuse me. What we do not know is the intent of the globalists is to use this reset. What we do not know is the intent of the globalists to use this reset to create more centralized monetary system and micromanage the global economy. Now, I'm totally on the page with Brandon here. I really hope that the reset is advantageous to the people at large, but I have my doubts sincerely, and talked about hope last week. At the core of this new structure would be the IMF, along with perhaps the Bank of International Settlements and the World Bank. It is a plan that has been supported openly by both Western and Eastern governments, including Russia and China. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. You should. It's really a good article. It really gets you to think, is this thing being orchestrated behind the scenes? Most likely it is. Is it planned? Most likely it is. Is it being engineered to the direction they wanted to go? Most likely that it is. What he states in the last paragraph, the best option at this time is continuously force the issue of central banking culpability. In other words, make them responsible for all this nonsense they're putting on the people at large globally. Liberty activists have to keep the focus on them and the criminal participation in economic sabotage, and we cannot assume that any government or political leader will be friendly to our cause. The globalists have started the crisis, and we must finish it by making sure that they are held accountable. Bravo, Brandon. You sound as idealistic as I am. Whether or not we can really do that or not remains to be determined. But to sit back and just watch it is ridiculous. We need to get out there and do as much as we possibly can. And there's a lot we can do with the way we spend our money. And I don't have time to go into that right now. But it certainly does have an effect. And the last article I'll touch before moving into the metals. A storm is gathering over container shipping. This is from C News. C is SEA here, if you're listening to the podcast only. Article talks about what many of us know, the Baltic Dry Index. Although it doesn't talk about it directly, it implies it because it talks about shipping containers and moving goods across the ocean, which is a main way we do it between several nation states, particularly between the U.S. and China, and that there's been a plethora of shipments out of China to the U.S., because of this tariff thing. So we'll get goods from China before the tariffs actually take place. And one thing that people don't know about the Baltic Dry Index, I should say a lot of people don't know, is that the size of these ships that move these containers has been increased substantially over time. So even though there's not as many ships, they're bigger than ever. But that means, as it says in this article, that it's become a casino to try to fill these things up, because the amount of goods being shipped across are not as falling, because as I've said many times on this podcast, the actual physical economy is actually contracting. We're probably in a stagflation and more likely going to be into a full-blown recession this year that probably won't be acknowledged until 2020. So that's the situation, and it's an ebb and flow of the natural order, certainly as things become more unstable and the trust in the system overall continues to become more and more unwary. You will see more and more move to things we need from things we want. In other words, the expenditures are more contracted because people don't have the extra cash, or the money that they do have doesn't buy as much or go as far. That's been the case for some time now. I thought I'd start with silver this week. And this is an article from the Silver Institute. More than a month old, but it's pertinent because it's looking at the market from a longer-term perspective, meaning what they expect for 2019. Silver demand from industrial fabrication, responsible for approximately 60% of the total demand, is forecast to rise moderately in 2019. We expect most sectors reasonable growth based on silver's use in a variety of applications around the whole thing. Photovoltaic demand has been expanding considerably in recent years due to various countries stepping up to the pace to diversify their energy generating portfolio away from conventional fossil fuels toward a higher share of renewable sources. Even with legislative changes in China, coupled with global overstocking and continuing attempts at thrifting, photovoltaic demand will still be very supportive of silver usage, as many governments will continue to provide incentives to install more solar power. India is expected to continue to be one of the largest silver consumers in 2019. Silver imports reached 225 million ounces last year, which was over 35% higher compared to 2017. Jewelry demand is expected to be a record solid year for growth in 2019, with Thailand said to be one of the driving forces behind the rise. In the United States, silver jewelry remained popular alternative to lower carat gold items, driven by many issues. Exchange-traded products are forecast to expand by 8 million ounces this year, and silver physical investment demand is likely to increase approximately 5% in 2019. How they come up with that, I'm not sure, but I know it's 5%. I do expect it will be higher this year. Bullion coin demand has been strong in the United States during January of this year, which usually is when the new issue Eagle comes out. There's a big rush to it because for a lot of reasons, but it's got the new year stamped on it. And once that happens, there's a lot that happens with those first issue coins. Silver supply, silver mine production is forecast to decline by 2% this year. So we're not at peak silver in my very studied view, but we have been basically declining slightly the last few years, and the Silver Institute forecasts that again. If you are a subscriber to the Morgan Report, you know that there's a couple of projects out there that are rather spectacular as far as grade and size. And those type of situations will most likely turn into real mines. And because of that, if you add that into what we already have, it would probably increase the supply. But I don't go too far down that rabbit hole. The silver scrap supply is forecast to pick up modestly in 2019. There again, with the Morgan's Report paid subscribers, you know that one of our technology stocks that we have favored as a speculation for a long time now has got a real inroad into the electronic waste side of the equation, and will probably be significant enough over the next few years, not next few months, but years, that would actually impact the amount of not only silver scrap, but also gold. And we actually had a one-on-one with my paid members, myself and the CEO. They're actually working with palladium out of catalytic converters, and the results have been actually rather outstanding. And to finish it off, this isn't really gold, but I got it from the GATA website. And anyone that's familiar with the Bernard von Nothaus situation with the Liberty Dollar would be interested in this. I think it's rather fascinating. This one caught me by surprise. Came out on the 14th of March this week. This was yesterday. I'm doing this on the 15th. So, infamous Liberty Dollar is back. Kathy Hicks of Live Oak and her husband Wayne have received it through the new Liberty Dollar Network, which encourages sound money supporters to exchange their U.S. dollars, which are secured by the government's promise, for silver-backed Live Oak Liberty Dollars. These are 100% backed by and exchangeable for silver bullion that is stored independently by an independently and audited vault. We'll read the whole thing if, again, find it fascinating. When asked about the new currency, von Nothaus said, "I'm delighted that Kathy Hicks asked me to design the new Liberty Dollar. She's done a fantastic job of getting the Liberty Dollar Network set up and reinventing the Liberty Dollar as a community currency program that will benefit the people and local businesses in Live Oak and other communities when inflation once again devalues the zero-backed fiat U.S. dollar." So There it is. You can read it on the screen. If not, and just listen to the podcast, I'm sure you could Google it and find out more. Very interesting to me. I'll leave it there. I will be with you next week. And remember, there is nothing more powerful than the truth.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.